Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, November the 18th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Julie P., the 12 Traditions, Mary P., and the readers of the text are Dana P., Anya P., and Ann SCH. We have a lot of last names with P today. Today we are reading from How It Works on page 59, starting with step 5, Admitted to God, and ending with step 6, Defects of Character. Comments on the step 5 and 6 only. Thank you very much. The share ID for Sunday, the special edition yesterday, November 17th, is 21,920, that's 21920. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, November 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,921, that's 21921. Newcomer greeter is Chanel T, and our announcements person is Betsy H. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice, and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Julie P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a compulsive overeater currently in Minnesota. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service and have a great day.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much, Julie P. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Ma. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery prescribed in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 59, the chapter How It Works, starting with step 5, Admitted to God, and ending with step 6, Defects of Character. And the comments will be on those two steps only. And I will now ask Dana P. to get us started. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. We're all peas this morning. Always just listening. Love that. So beginning with step 5 and ending with step 6, well, we all know there's 12 steps, but we're going to focus as best we can on these two steps this morning. I'm Dana P. I'm in California, recovered by the grace of God. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Powerful. I'm going to just briefly share a little bit on step 5 because I'm certain that other people will go there. You know, the thing about step 5 is so remarkable, and I did share this previously, is this idea that, you know, why tell God anything when God knows everything? It's because we need to hear ourselves say it, and we need to get honest with ourselves. And then another human being, it says it right there. So relationship with God, with ourselves, and God's kids. And then it says here, the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, nature, that to me speaks about instinct. And so, you know, going back, and it's interesting because there's like 4 or 5 pages on step 5, but there's really only 2 paragraphs on steps 6 and then 7, but one paragraph on step 6. And what it says in here is what's most important here is willingness. We've emphasized willingness is being indispensable. Now we're ready. So it doesn't say we have to be perfect or that God's going to take it all away or that we have to make it all go. It just says we have to be willing. That's it. We ask God to help us be willing. So I'm asking God, you know, I see all these things in my instincts. And the book, since there was so little here on step 6, I went back to the 12 by 12 because there's a lot more in there. And the thing that I found so amazing, and I hope you're timing because I have so much information here, and anybody else that's more interested, I did a bunch of research. But the first thing here, page 63 of the 12 by 12, it says, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And I was wondering where that comes from. It says, so declares a well-loved clergyman. And that clergyman happened to be Bill's advisor, Ed Dowling, who oddly was not an alcoholic, but he was a compulsive overeater. I found that quite interesting. And then we go to page 68, where it says, so the difference between the boys and the men, so I'm saying, what does that mean exactly? It is the difference between striving for a self-determined objective, meaning my will in doing something, and for the perfect objective, which is of God. And, you know, I always had this idea about the way things should be. And really, it's all about God, what would you have me be? I'm sure that people are all very familiar with that statement. And then it says down below that this perfection, this idea of perfection is impossible. The only urgent thing is that we make a beginning and keep trying. So we're really just trying and we're practicing every single day. That's where the 10th step and the 11th step come in. It's such an amazing process. And another thing I'd like to share is on the idea of instincts. You know, they talk about instincts gone awry. And my instincts are just my defense mechanisms. I'm not damaged or broken or defective. I'm actually quite creative in surviving by using these instincts. But they've gone awry, and there's something I need to do about that, and that's to trust God and take the steps I need to take forward moving on.
Thank you very much, Dana P., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two steps, step 5 and step 6?
Rachel R.
Jody E.
Wendy B.
Rachel R. And Jody E. And who was after Jody?
Wendy B.
Wendy, that's right. Wendy B. I have Rachel R., Jody E., Wendy B. Anyone else?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Dina A.
That was Dina A.
Jamie G.
Jamie, was that, or Janie?
Janie G.
I got it. All right, let's stop there. Janie G. All right, I have Rachel R., Jody E., Wendy B., Deborah G., I have Dina. I didn't get your last initial down. I'll get it when you talk. And Janie G. All right, everybody mute except Rachel. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, good morning. So for step 5 and 6, admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, exact nature of our wrongs. I really hear for this that it's saying it out loud to another person, but also saying it out loud to ourselves. For me, sometimes there might be something, but I'm not even aware of it until I say it out loud. I think it just gives me another, step in getting to know myself and getting to know myself around this disease, and also making, sure that I'm relying on my higher power. knowing that, like, it's the secret's out, the closet, we're cleaning out the closet, and, like, these are the things I'm finding in there. And then the next one, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And that one, it took me a minute, but being ready, just ready to have him remove them, doesn't mean they're all going to go right this second, but they're going to go when God is ready to remove them. We just need to be ready. And I know, like, for some of this, like, defects of character, I try not to look at it as, like, a punishment that I have defects of character, that something's wrong with me that I have defects of character, because many of the defects of character have had me, helped me survive and get to this point. They just are not necessarily something that I need anymore, because now I'm relying on God instead of relying on myself. So it'll be, you know, God-focused rather than Rachel-focused. So again, just being ready, but knowing that they may not be ready for, God may not be ready for him to remove them all right yet, and I still need some of them. But little by little, they will be lifted, and that's because I'm relying on the higher power for me. And that's all I have. Thank you. My pass.
Rachel, where are you calling from?
Oh, Southern California.
Okay, California. Okay, thank you, Rachel from California. Rachel R. Up next is Jody E. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered here in Monterey, California. So step five, oh gosh, you know, it is difficult to do. It's difficult to withhold nothing, withhold nothing, even the things about which I am ashamed. And there are some things, things from my distant past that I would not, which I don't care to admit. But when I pocket my pride and withhold nothing, illuminating every dark cranny of the past, then the promises should come true. Promises, which are that I'm delighted. I can look the world in the eye. I can be alone at perfect peace and ease. My fears fall from me. I begin to feel the nearness of my Creator. I begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the food problem has disappeared will come often strongly. I feel that I am on the broad highway. I'm taking these from the Big Book. I'm walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. So have these promises come true for me after taking step five? I need to ask myself that. If they haven't, maybe I have left something out. Maybe I need to go back and take a fine-toothed comb through my fourth step and make sure that I haven't left anything out. One of our members with whom we have several special editions, Lori C., he talks about having to go back. His sponsor made him go back several times to look at his fourth step to make sure it was complete, because he was not experiencing these fifth step promises yet. I've never had a sponsor insist that I do that. I'm beginning to ask my sponsees to do that, and I'm beginning to ask myself to do that. Are these promises coming true? And if not, what more can I look for? What more can I find in my inventory? Those things that I think I've admitted everything, but can I look the world in the eye all the time? These are really good questions, I think, these promises. And right. As far as steps, that's time. Okay. Thank you so much, Mo.
Hey, thank you very much, Jody E. from California. Up next, we have Wendy B., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, the part where about, you know, admitting to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And one of the big benefits of being in our program is the structure of having accountability partners. You know, it's recommended to get a sponsor and to be accountable to that sponsor, you know, and we develop relationships where we can share our failures and our weaknesses and our successes, you know, without condemnation. And, you know, being accountable to someone helps us develop a sense of responsibility. You know, it promotes integrity in our choices and discipline in our actions. And having someone we're accountable to protects us from making, you know, or repeating poor choices and helps us learn from our mistakes. And, you know, we learn how to examine our motives and how to be honest and humble. And, you know, the honest shares of others struggling, you know, helps us identify our own weaknesses. And, you know, because our accountability partner can see our weaknesses, they're, you know, in a good position to offer counsel and encouragement and correction, you know, if needed. And, you know, and because they aren't above us, you know, on some hierarchy ladder, but they're one of us with the same struggles, we feel accepted and loved, you know, in our human condition. And we can recognize the depth and weight in their words, you know, that they truly have walked in our shoes, and we can trust their words of guidance and follow their example of how they got to a place of freedom, you know, from the obsession that plagues us as compulsive overeaters. And I'm just so grateful for this structure. You know, it's changed my life to one of usefulness and purpose. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Dina A. For those who just got on the line, we're studying step 5 and 6 on page 59. Okay, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everyone's service making this meeting possible. And welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us. And thank you all for your shares already 12-stepping me. I was thinking about my last experience with my 5th step. I was able to share all the things I'd learned about myself with the 4th step, you know, just the beliefs and all the thinking and all the actions, the behaviors, and how all those things were affecting people. And, you know, when I talked about it with her, she was able to see these patterns that I really couldn't see. Some of them I could see, but not in depth. And that's why I like that, because, see, my thinking is sometimes distorted, delusions. And so she helps me to see the truth, you know. And that's what I want to have, is the truth, the reality, because I don't always see reality. And then when I'm able to see all that and see how that has affected, you know, myself and others, you know, in my life and affected my life and affected to where I'm constantly going to the food for ease and comfort because of those things. And I don't food for ease and comfort anymore. And so then I become willing to give that to that power that I'm developing a partnership with going through the steps. You know, it's continually connecting with that power and having that power partnership to help me with this, because I, back in the beginning, have no power. So it's a lovely process to go through if I'm honest and open-minded and willing and have the loving support of a sponsor, the care that I get going through it. That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you very much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Well, next, Dina A. I think it's Dina A. Followed by Janie G. Good morning, Dina.
Good morning, Dina A. from New Jersey. So I love the 5 and 6 here. Well, maybe 6 and 7, but it has to do with admitting to God, myself, and another human being the exact nature of my defects. That was so hard for me. I've been in program regular OA for like probably 11 or 12 years before I started with the vision sponsor. And going through the steps with my vision sponsor, I remember reading her harms inventory that I wrote. So cluing in that it was a harms inventory, so I knew I did some harm. And I started to read about my sister. And my sponsor said before I got like 5 words out, oh, passive aggressive. And I got so choked up with tears in my eyes that I had to take a few minutes. I asked her if I could please call her back. Because she was judging me because she saw a character defect, because it's so interesting that today my paper of my character defects that I wrote in step 6 and 7, and I pray for God to remove them after most of the 10 steps that I do. I go through and look at which character defects were involved and pray for their removal. That's my favorite paper in the whole wide world. I absolutely love it. And I don't have to do so much dating, justifying, arguing, defending, explaining. I feel like I'm understood and that everybody knows that I'm okay and that I don't have any character defects. Because today, the miracle of healing is that I'm okay having these character defects. And what I realized and learned is that passive aggressive just means that I don't know how to express my needs because of my fears. And so I'm doing something else, something silent, something that seems more compliant, that's not going to rock the boat, but still trying to get my needs met. And today, I don't have to do that anymore. I can be straightforward and say what I need or say what I feel. So all of this is such a miracle. The whole idea of not wanting to be exposed, walking around, trying to hide, I don't know what. There was nothing so deep and terrible that I couldn't be exposed. But just the shame that if it's exposed, I'm not going to be loved. I'm not going to be worthy. And that was the inner shame that was leading me to the comfort of the food. And to have that removed, like just root, branch, everything. Like, hey, it's okay. Oh, dear, I'm being passive aggressive. Great. Now I could pray about that. And even knowing that it's not me that has to take care of it once I figure out that it's a character defense. The only thing I need to do is pray about it and humbly ask God to remove it. So it just makes it that much easier, that much more simple, that much more freedom. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Dina A. from New Jersey. Before I take Janie G., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 59 and how it works, beginning with step 5, admitted to God, and ending with step 6, defects of character. And after Janie, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Janie.
Good morning. This is Janie G. in Michigan. I never share on the meeting, but I've been being nudged. So I'm so thankful that this meeting is here. And thank you to those of you who have shared and those of you who do service. I'm just thinking this morning about how I need to practice these principles in all my affairs. And, you know, I am selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful. And I need to admit to God, myself, and another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. And then become entirely willing to have God remove these defects of character and withhold nothing, hold nothing back. I had a sponsor once who asked me, how free do I want to be? And I have to be honest with myself about the payoff and the benefit of practicing these defects. You know, do I really want to be rigorously honest in all of these? And in my abstinence, I'm finding it's not just abstinence from my alcoholic foods, but the behaviors are rooted in my dishonesty is a pervasive behavior. I want to justify. I I've come to the point where I've realized there are other foods I need to be willing to let go of and eliminate that are literally allergic foods because of some medical issues that I have going on. But then the insidious nature of this disease is then the disease is telling me, you know, well, since you can't have that, now why don't you have a little more of this? And so exactly what it is, the exact nature of my wrongs here has to do with, you know, I had an Ezekiel bread. I'm allowed to have Ezekiel bread, and it was stuck to the heel of the Ezekiel bread, which was very thin slice. So I put them together in the toaster, ate both of them, and I could have half a tablespoon of almond butter, but I doubled it, and I had it on the heel as well. And then disease told me, honey is good for you. You can have honey. There's so many things you can't have. And then I didn't tell my sponsor. And it didn't come to my mind until later how dishonest I was. And the disease tells me the most outrageous things, and it helps me to rationalize the most outrageous sort of nonsense. So my surrender is daily and throughout the day. My surrender has to be to God, to telling the truth. And I have to be able to be honest with myself, with God, and with another human being. So this is just day two of me abstaining from dishonesty. And I want to be 100% free. I really do. I want to be free. The fog this morning here reminds me of the veil that comes when I'm dishonest. It puts a veil between me and God and me and other people. And so I want to be completely free. So I'm so thankful for these steps that show me the way out. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Janie G. from Missouri. And before, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on steps 5 and 6? On page 59.
Erin from Wyoming.
Donna
Aaron.
B.
Aaron. Donna B.
Kathy K. from Boston.
Kathy K.
Jan C. from Arizona.
Jan C. I'll take one more. I think we can squeak one more in there. Anybody else?
Janice K. Janice
okay.
K.
Janice. Gotcha. Janice K. All right, I have Aaron. Sorry, Aaron, I didn't get your last initial. Dana. Donna. Donna B. Kathy K. Jan C. and Janice K. All right, everybody mute except Aaron. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. I'm Erin J. from Cody, Wyoming. Really grateful to be at this meeting talking about the 5th step and the 6th step. I was explained that doing inventory basically is a snapshot, like one of those Polaroids of my whatever sick thinking is going on or happened. And very little insight can ever really come from that experience of writing until I share it with another. There's a huge difference between talking about something and reading writing. Because, well, at least for me, and I think this is, I've heard this, so I think it's true for me as well. When I'm talking, I cannot help but filter for my audience. I have a desire not to be seen in a bad light. So even if I've written about something and then I want to share about it, like in a general way, talking about it, not the same as like literally just reading the words that came out on the page. Because when I'm reading the words coming out on the page, my character defects are in bold relief. And I've only from doing more repeated inventories have I ever come to the realization, which I'm sure people told me, but didn't happen in my head until I saw it myself. It was never those people. It was always me every single time. Whatever the problem was, and the problem was myself. And it was the people were the backdrop on which I carried out my character defects. And the way I've done inventory is I normally just read it from like on my, I write into steno pads, because that's just what I do. And then I'll read it out loud to my sponsor or to whoever I'm sharing writing with. And my sponsor would keep like a notepad with her. And then she would ask me at the end of the writing, here's step six, okay, what character defects did you recognize? Okay, and then I'd notice whatever I noticed. And then she would say, what about this? What about that? And so I would write down the ones that she noticed, and we would talk about them. And then literally on a piece of paper, larger than a piece of paper, I had a little notebook, I would date the day I'm sharing inventory. I'd write my character defects that I identified and the ones that were pointed out to me. And then the next part of it is looking at the second column. The next column is, what's the opposite? So if I find myself being a hypocrite, which is something, believe me, I didn't see until several inventories in, okay, what's the opposite? Tolerance. Whatever it is, there's lots of character defects that I play out. The passive aggressive I identify with. How about being transparent, letting my husband know what's really happening instead of springing it on him? That's one of my big character defects. And so then my homework is, after that assignment, after that inventory sharing, is to, which demonstrates my willingness to let go of that character defect and what it's done for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aaron J. from Wyoming. Aaron J. from Wyoming. Up next is Donna B., followed by Kathy K. Good morning,
Good
Donna.
Morning. Good morning, Mo. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. If you're looking for me, it's spelled D-A-N-A. We're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Being entirely ready to have them removed is very different from God coming in and entirely removing them just because I'm ready. So I have been living in this way of life for many, many years. And I have a readiness that I bring to the step work and to my life. But it isn't a guarantee or a promise that my defects of character will be lifted when I want them to be, or how I want them to be, or even that I've identified them in the way that my higher power has identified them. I like the idea that my defects of character are like a dial on the radio, and sometimes they need to be dialed up and sometimes they need to be dialed down, and that that sometimes a defect of character is just the opposite side of a positive trait, like being thorough, being ambitious, being caring of other people. You know, when I dial those up too far up, they can turn into defects of character that cause damage to myself and to others. And so as I'm listening to this meeting and reflecting on these steps specifically, but the steps as a whole, as a way of life, I'm just so grateful for the lack of urgency and the lack of, like, having to force my way through it. I just have to be ready and allow things to happen in God's time and in God's way. And because of the way the steps are designed, I just keep doing the work over and over and over again. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Donna B. from Colorado, spelled D-A-N-A. Up next is Kathy K., followed by J-N-C. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. I'm Kathy K., a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston. It's great to be on this meeting this morning. I just completed a year-long Big Book study with a group of women. And I was shown over and over again how the work I did on my fourth step 4 years ago does not substitute for the work I could do this time around on my fourth step, because I keep growing and I keep having spiritual awarenesses that allow me to see more of my part in particular situations. So I'm so grateful that I remember the first time I went through the steps, I thought, okay, I'm done. I've done the fourth step and the fifth step and the sixth and so on. But I now realize that these 12 steps are to be worked over and over again. And as it relates to step six, I thought if I prayed often enough, my growth character defects would be at least diminished, if not removed entirely. And today I know that it's only with God that I can hope to replace particular character defect behaviors and attitudes with something that's more healthy, loving and kind, and directed by my higher power. So I'm actually looking forward to what lies ahead as I work through these steps again and again.
Is that it, Kathy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Me, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everybody who's on the meeting. Oh, my goodness, I am getting so much out of this meeting today. Oh, one of the things that I'm finding so extremely helpful is sponsoring, and I am working the steps as I go through them with my sponsees, and more is being revealed to me. I realize there is some real old junk from my past that I want, that it would be, it's really dark, because I don't want to tell anybody. But I'm praying about that now because I do believe I need to do a fourth step and fifth step on those with my sponsor. I trust her implicitly. She never judges me. She still loves me no matter what I've told her. So there's that. So I'm praying about those now that I can address those soon in God's time. And then the defects of character. I had the opportunity over the weekend to speak on the promises. There was a candlelight meeting and one I attend, and I got self-seeking will slip away. And you know, that is a huge defect of character of me, and I didn't realize it. I've been a teacher all my life, so it's kind of an occupational hazard, but I can't use that as an excuse. What I know now is as I'm working with people and working with sponsees and living life, it's not up to me what somebody else needs to do in their life. It's their higher power's job. Mine is to stay on my side of the street, ask my higher power to remove this defect of character as he sees fit. And so that's all I have to share today. I'm just so very grateful to be here. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, thank you very much, Jan C. from Arizona. And up next is Janice K., and I may be able to take one more after Janice. We'll see. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Mo. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Sometimes we need to get through the steps fairly quickly. It's not a good idea to stall out anywhere on them because we need to know, because they are the tools for our new way of living. That being said, there's usually something I'm willing to give up on step six. I mean, for most of us, it starts with food, and maybe some minor defects of character come up that we're willing to dispense with. When we've been practicing for a while, we come across the deeper, darker things. I've always done as good a fourth step as I could do at the time. But the spiritual journey continues and we grow. And as we grow, the light gets brighter And all of a sudden, we can see the stuff in the dark crannies. The stuff in the dark crannies is sometimes stuff that it's hard to look at, that I just don't want to poke at it. I don't want to look at what it does to me. I don't want to know what it does for me. I don't want to have to deal with the justifications and the minimalizations and the rationalizations I use. But eventually, it's going to be so uncomfortable that it's either turn it over or eat. So out it goes. It's really difficult if you have a concept of God separate from yourself that has to be appeased, someone you have to dress up for Sunday so you look good. How can you trust a being like that with the stuff from the dark corners? Well, a higher power grows. Our concept of higher power grows. And I think admitting the secrets that we keep in the dark corners enable our relationship with that power to grow. So step six is something that sometimes takes a while. There's usually something we can toss on the pile so that we can continue the steps. But I don't think that the deeper work ever stops. Thank you for listening, I guess.
Thank you very much, Janice K. And we have 2 minutes if someone would like to share on step six, five or six.
Liz A.
Liz. All right, Liz, you got it.
Okay, just briefly. I was always really confused with this step, really, as to what it meant. And I had to look for a deeper understanding. And in the AA 12 and 12, it talks about this being the step that differentiates the men from the boys. But then reading on, and I just wanted to share this, it says, so step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, is AA's way of stating the best possible attitude one can take in order to make a beginning on this lifetime job. And then it goes on, and then it says, most of them, we shall have to be content with patient improvement. The key words, entirely ready, underline the fact that we want to aim at the very best we know or can learn. And that I could do. I could have that attitude of wanting to be the best that I can be. I couldn't entirely let go of wanting, of my vanity, of whatever, those defects that just seem to be in us. So I just loved that it's just about the attitude to make a beginning on this lifetime job. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Liz A. And thank you all for your shares this morning. And so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And who do I have down? Tanya P., please read a vision for you. Tanya, press star 1 to unmute. Looks like she's having trouble. Anne SCH, can you do that for us?
Hi, Mo, I'm here. And I'm just
Thank you.
Getting my big book out again. I was in the shower.
Oh, gosh. Page 164. That's going to any length.
It is. My name is Anne SCH. I'm a compulsive overeater from Vancouver, BC, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. It is your house. Ask if your house, let me start that again. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until